Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Show 47 of On the Double, where tonight a champion will be crowned in the NCAA.
Man, you know what, Sean? We have to be probably the bravest sports show on the planet, keeping things rolling, Mr. Wally, as we go up against the NCAA basketball men's championships right now.
Kentucky against UConn, the University of Connecticut. Who do you like in this one, Sean Boyd?
Well, you know, as a personal favorite, I have to go with UConn. And you know, the main reason UConn was, you know, was kind of this favorite in the beginning, but of course they weren't as big of a favorite as the University of Kentucky, who was ranked number one preseason and can't take anything away from the Kentucky Wildcats with five fabulous freshmen. This is the Fab Five Part two coming at you. And, you know, these guys definitely deserved it. But, you know, I kind of have a personal liking to UConn. Shabazz Napier doing an excellent job on leading this team to the NCAA championships. And, of course, right now it's a close game. UConn on top 35-31 with just a little bit left going into half. Connecticut had a 15-point lead. Kevin Ollie's team has let that lead dwindle down to four, Sean Wally.
And you mentioned Kevin Ollie. He's a great young coach, former NBA player, had a nice career in the NBA, and now he's doing great things at the collegiate level.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, you know, of course, a University of Connecticut alum as well, and the predecessor to Coach Calhoun, and is doing a phenomenal job. And, of course, you know, who would have thought that UConn would be in this position? And, you know, all the players who are supposed to do well are doing well thus far. You know, for Kentucky, you got James Young. He's definitely making his presence felt. He's got 10 points so far in the first half. And, you know, Shabazz Napier just cruising right along with 15 points. Of course, this game is at half right now, so we should get a lot of our listeners coming back on, Sean Wally, as they kind of go back and forth from watching the game and listening to great sports talk.
Yeah, and it's good timing for the show. You know, halftime, here we are, the start of the show, kicking off show 47. And what they can do also is have the show on the game on mute while listening to the show.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you know, again, what a great first half for the UConn Huskies. And, you know, who would have thought again that they would be in this position? And, you know, hats off to Kevin Ollie. And you can only imagine in the offseason what kind of offers he's going to get, Sean, as far as, you know, hey, come to this program or come to that program. But it doesn't get any better than UConn. Of course, you know, they are a basketball prowess, both on the men's and the women's side.
Now, Sean, as a former athlete yourself, a guy that's played a major college sport and you've coached at various levels, what do you think it's like to play in front of triple digits, 100,000 plus at Jerry World down there in North Texas?
Well, you know, if it's basketball, I could only imagine what they have to go through as far as practice and preparation. I think we've talked about this before as far as the backdrop is concerned. You know, you have regular arenas that, you know, have that backdrop that seem a little bit tough, and you have to try to get that depth perception as far as taking a jump shot is concerned. So you can imagine in Jerry World, as you called it, Sean, you know, I mean, man, this is made for football. And so you can, I can't even imagine what these guys are going through as far as, you know, preparing to play basketball in a football venue.
Yeah, it's got to be just amazing to go from 10, 15,000, maybe 20,000 max for larger college venues. And now you go to this spectacle that is almost too many fans for a football game. And now you put a smaller playing surface, the court down, and you put so many more people down on the floor, it's just got to be tough to focus on the game.
Well, put it this way. I mean, this vineyard has probably the world's largest Jumbotron, which I believe the Jumbotron is bigger than the court itself. And so, you know, if you so I can only imagine if you're in the upper level, you wouldn't have to worry about looking down on the floor and having binoculars because the Jumbotron is so big, you feel like you're courtside.
Yeah, and we'll see how the second half plays out and whether or not this stays a tight contest or if one team can figure out the other and take advantage in the second half.
You know, and the way this game is going, you know, it's going to go down to the wire, no doubt about it. And it looked like, you know, the Connecticut Huskies were just going to run away with this thing. I mean, they came out with a lot of poise. They, you know, each possession was cherished by them, and they were making the right calls and the right shots. And then, you know, Kentucky makes a run. And so that's what it's going to be like, I believe, going into the rest of the game. It's going to be, you know, some runs and some flows. And, you know, we'll see how the Harrison brothers do. Of course, Aaron and Andrew Harrison. Of course, Andrew just phenomenal, having a phenomenal game this game with 8 points. And, you know, these guys are playing championship-style basketball.
Now, I know it's way too early. The game hasn't even ended. But with Kentucky having so many great freshmen and second-year players on that squad, do you have any clue how many are just going to leave after 1 year, maybe 2 years, and try to get into the NBA and take that check? Or maybe will they stick around, try and better their game, and get their education?
Well, Coach Cal, you know, he's one of those coaches that it really doesn't matter because he does good as far as recruiting year in and year out. If his young men leave, he just reloads. You know, that's a whole show in itself, and talking about, you know, should the players stay an extra year or should they leave right out of, or go into the NBA draft, I mean, right out of high school. I think if these guys have the opportunity to make it to the Holy Grail, which is professional basketball, by all means, go ahead and do it. But at the same time, have some type of, wherewithal and a strong background and good coaching, you know, not just on the court, but off the court as far as making the right decisions. But to answer your question, Sean, who knows? I mean, if the Kentucky Wildcats win tonight, I don't see why any of these guys would come back.
So sticking with events in the college rank, in the last week, Northwestern has made some moves to try and get a unionization going for college sports. Your take.
You know, it's been something that I've thought about for a little bit, you know, as far as, you know, should the athletes get a little bit. This is falling right along the lines of getting paid. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And, you know, before it actually took a national stage, it's something that conflicts with their own institution. And so, you know, the head football coach is saying that this is something that he wouldn't want to happen, you know, having a union along with the athletic director. And so, you know, I do believe that these athletes deserve something. You know, athletes have a full ride scholarship, or if you have a full ride scholarship, you are not to work, you're not to make a dime or do anything of that nature. And so at some point, I believe that, you know, having a union, would help them along those avenues. I'm just not sure if there's something put in place to where it's a level playing field where everybody would be treated fairly and get paid a fair salary.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out, because we all know that the NCAA makes millions, if not billions of dollars on television deals, on merchandise, and the players, most of them are getting a free education, so they are getting something. So it's just going to be a matter of time before this all shakes down.
Well, you know, we had just talked about Kentucky's Fab Five freshmen. You know, this all goes back to the University of Michigan with the Fab Five, the original Fab Five, you know, where they felt like they were being exploited. You know, they were traveling around the world and they weren't getting paid anything. They were broke. The institution, University of Michigan, you know, got huge payoffs from it. The NCAA got huge payoffs from it. But they didn't, meaning the athletes. And so, You know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you understand both sides. You know, at some point, you know, there has to be a coming to the table on this. And right now, I think that, you know, Northwestern has definitely paved the way for that to happen.
And actually, let's head on out right now to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and connect with Marcus Mitchell. Marcus, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, Marcus, thanks for being on the show, man. Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, man. I know that you are back east. Now, where are you? Are you in Quebec?
No, I'm actually currently in the D.C. area.
Oh, in the D.C. area. Okay. All right. Well, man, yeah. Thank you for taking the time out. I know the East Coast time, 10:15 Eastern Standard Time, man. I know that it's probably been a long day for you.
Yes, it has. I'm just preparing here to start my training for the summer.
So now your 2013-2014 campaign, I believe you're with the Bloomington Thunder of the SPHL. And then, you know, we had talked a little bit, and I know that you're in transition, I believe, looking to join the Stockton Thunder. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm looking for any opportunity at the next level I can get. Working hard, training this summer, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Now, Marcus, this is a treat to have you on the show. You know, one of the, you know, the main reasons is you know, just on how you got into playing professional hockey, and for those who don't know, Marcus, you're African American, and it is a rarity at the professional level, at least at the NHL level, to have African American athletes. You have a great story, so won't you tell your story? I know that it has humble beginnings on you playing, you know, wanting to play hockey since the beginning, it seems like.
Absolutely. Well, I started skating when I was 3 years old, and, you know, at 4 years old, I knew I wanted to be a professional hockey player, and I just went up the ranks and worked hard, went to school, and finally met my goal of being a professional hockey player, but I still have goals of making it to the NHL.
And so, you know, of course, you know, definitely taking that step out and realizing your passion. And, you know, you got the chance to join a traveling team. So, I mean, this was at the age of 7. I can only imagine. Now, what type of traveling were you doing at the age of 7 for playing hockey?
At the age of 7, I was traveling all over North America. Hockey, especially in Illinois, was not the most popular sport. So, like basketball or football, where you would travel and play different schools or different organizations in the area. As for hockey, I had to be in a different state every weekend for away games. So it definitely exposed me to a lot of different places and all over Canada and just all over the U.S.
Now, I'm sure there were some adversities that you had to face as far as playing hockey, but you have a strong faith, and that's one of the things that you were mentioning is your strong faith background. Kind of give us an idea on what that's like as far as, you know, your preparation and what that means to you as far as playing hockey.
Absolutely. Well, I pray before every game, and you know, I operate completely on faith. You know, that's one thing that's taken me this far in the game. You know, God is just the most important part of my life, and you know, it's something that I value and take very seriously.
Now, Marcus, when did you realize that hockey was a sport that you were very good at and you could take it to that next level and try to achieve your dreams?
Well, the funny thing is when I was 3 years old, you know, I told my mom that I wanted to play hockey. And I wanted to. She threw me out on the ice, hoping that I'd be like every other kid and, you know, just fall down. But it turned out that when my first time on the ice, I just skated, you know, naturally. And it was just a natural gift for me that I was blessed with. And I just took off and went through the ranks really fast, got moved up through different skating classes, and, you know, immediately started playing hockey at 4.
That's amazing. Now, who have been some of your biggest coaches and mentors and people that have taken you under their wing and helped you throughout your career?
Well, I've met with and I've worked with a lot of different people. You know, my family has been very supportive of me on this journey in hockey. I'd say the most supportive of them all. But, you know, throughout this journey, throughout playing hockey, you know, it being a non-traditional sport for me, I kind of had to discover, you know, things on my own and realize the different paths to take. I think maybe one of the first black hockey players that I met and kind of was a mentor for me was Joel Ward with the Washington Capitals.
Now tell us a little bit about, Marcus, tell us a little bit about Joel Ward. What style player was he and what inspired you the most about him?
Well, Joel Ward has a, you know, story similar to me. He grew up in Toronto, actually, and he went to school and played. And, you know, a lot of players in the NHL end up not playing in college. They end up playing what they call major junior instead of taking the college route. But he, as I did, went to university, actually Prince George University, or I'm sorry, Prince Edward Island University. And from there, he went to the AHL and then worked his way up to the NHL. So he's kind of worked hard. I think his first debut in the NHL was at 27. And, you know, I actually met with him because I trained with him during the summer.
Marcus Mitchell, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. Now, Marcus, I talked with you a little bit briefly as far as your ambitions to making it to the NHL. Now, give our listeners a little bit of an idea on what it's like. How, you know, what's the dedication like? You know, the day in, the day out preparation for, you know, getting yourself to that next level.
Right. Well, you know, hockey, a lot of things, something that people don't really realize is that hockey is basically a year-round thing. You know, it's a long season for us. It's a lot of wear and tear on the body. And also in the off season, you know, you train really hard. My schedule usually consists of playing during the season and taking 2 weeks off at the end of the season. And then after those 2 weeks, I start preparing for the next season right away. And that's weightlifting, all-night training, and other different things.
Now, Marcus, you had mentioned, you know, the seasons are very long, and there's no doubt about it. I think, you know, every time you, you know, if you're looking at some of the other three major sports, baseball, basketball, football, and at the professional level, every time one of those seasons are in season, it seems like the NHL is always in season. You know, kind of give us a, you know, you had mentioned the long preparations, you know, to get to that next level. Have you had any offers or anything like that as far as trying out for one of those professional teams?
Absolutely. Well, I'm always I'm always looking for opportunities, and I always you know, I'm on the ball, and I have people that are also helping me, you know, find opportunities. My agent being one of them, and you never know, you know, how things play out, especially when it comes to, you know, professional in any sport. And so I kind of just in the process of waiting to see what happens. And until then, I will be prepared for, you know, whatever opportunity comes my way. So my hard work usually pays off every year.
Professional hockey player Marcus Mitchell joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. And Marcus, what do you think the key or a few key components are to people realizing their potential in sports?
I think the, you know, key component is, you know, just being consistent and also being dedicated to the game. And, you know, just I think consistency is the biggest part. You know, a lot of players fall out of the game as they get older because, you know, they might run into a different, you know, hurdles. And, you know, the passion and dedication are very key as well.
Now, Marcus, we all know that fighting is a part of the game, and I've seen a few videos where you've gotten into a few fisticuffs. What do you think about fighting in hockey, and how do you draw that line as to whether or not to throw down?
Well, you know, fighting is a part of the game of hockey, and that's the unique thing about hockey. Unlike other sports, you know, fighting is allowed, so usually when you take a bad hit or you have a you give a bad hit that someone else doesn't like, a fight breaks out. And, it's very entertaining for the fans, and it also gets the team going, gets the crowd going. So it's fun to do.
Do the coaches direct you at all to go ahead and, you know, it's okay, or pull the reins in? No, we don't want to get the penalties and lose the guys on the ice?
It depends on the situation of the game. Usually when you fight someone, you know, you're fighting someone, they take both of you to the penalty box. So the penalties are even, and they cancel each other out. So, fighting is something, like I said, that can get the team going. Let's say if you're down, like, maybe one or two goals in a game, you need to get, the team going, you fight. And players have different roles on the team. I'm not a fighter, but I do know how to fight, and I do defend myself when it's the time to do it. So.
Wow, yeah, I can imagine. Marcus Mitchell, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Hey, Marcus, when you kind of see how fights are set up a little bit, and since we're talking about this, the officials that kind of skate around, I mean, it's not their intent to actually break up the fight initially, and I've noticed that, and I'm kind of wondering, is that something that's strategic? Are they waiting for both players to just get tired and their arms fall down, and then they can jump in and break it up, or what's the reasoning for that?
Yeah, basically, there's one or two things like a ref will jump in between a fight, and that's usually when the players are usually tired and they're not throwing any more punches, or if one player falls. So once the player falls, usually the fight is over, and then the refs step in and break it up.
So, yeah, and again, I can only imagine. I can't figure out that part of the game. And that, even though you've explained it and you said there's certain strategies to where people, you know, it's a way to get momentum to swing, and you know, it gets the crowd involved, it gets the teams excited. I mean, it is just something to actually see that, you know, guys going at it. Tell me, what's the better way to fight in a hockey game? Is it to take the gloves off, or do you keep the gloves on? I haven't been able to figure it out. Some take their helmet off, some keep it on. You know
what? You have to take the gloves off when you fight. Like, you definitely have to take the gloves off. That's a must. Some players decide whether to take the helmets off or not. In some leagues, it's an extra penalty for you to take your helmet off. But the gloves is a must. Dropping the gloves on the stick is a definite must in a fight. And, you know, hockey is just a very physical game. And, you know, it's very intense. And sometimes, you know, one team doesn't like getting pushed around, you know, and then a fight breaks out. That's just part of the game. And, you know, that's how it normally works. No blood,
that's the voice,
love, you know.
That's the voice of professional hockey player Marcus Mitchell. And Marcus, what is the worst injury you've suffered playing hockey?
The worst injury I suffered playing hockey, I'd say probably a loss. That's probably the worst for me. I really do not like to lose, and that hurts me more than anything else.
Awesome. Let's keep you healthy out there, and we'll just keep the W's rolling for you. And yeah, in terms of hockey, what has been your highest high? Was it your first professional team? Was it a certain victory? What's been the highest high in hockey for you?
I'd say probably my highest high would be last year when I played my first exhibition pro game, and it was actually in Stockton, California, and I played against the Bakersfield Condors, and my first shift was actually against Jonathan Taze's little brother. So that was pretty intense for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Marcus Mitchell, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. And so, Marcus, what are your future plans here? I know that you're in the off season here, but what's on the horizon for you, and what are some of the things that you're doing in the off season to keep yourself motivated?
Well, in the off season, I train really, really hard. My training usually lasts all day. I do weightlifting, and I also do boxing as well as on ice training. So, my eating is very important. My rest is very important, and they're all part of my training. Like I said, hockey training for me, and hockey in general, is just a lifestyle. So.
Now, Marcus, of course, as we had mentioned earlier, being an African-American hockey player, what would be something that you would encourage more young African-American athletes to aspire to play hockey?
You know, like you said it right there. It's not very popular, you know, for African-Americans, and they're, you know, it's growing for us, and we're learning about the game. And you know, I love going around and talking to younger kids and mentoring other younger kids, and you know, telling them that it is an option for them. You know, most people don't know that it's an option. They, you know, basketball and football are more popular, and for younger kids, younger African American kids. But you know, hockey is something that's kind of new, and it's a very expensive sport. It's very it's not something you can really go outside and play. But it's growing, and you know, I try to tell them that they can do that. So I try to be an example.
Marcus, is there a way that fans can follow you? Excuse me, on Twitter or a website where people can keep tabs on you and in your career?
Absolutely, I have a couple different things. I have my Twitter. And my Facebook account, and as well as my Instagram. And my Instagram is, that would be mmmitchell22. And my Twitter, or my Facebook, would be shoot to score. And my Twitter is MarcusMitchell1990.
All right, Marcus Mitchell, professional hockey player. Best of luck to you in your off season, and we hope you land somewhere in the fall. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Marcus.
Take care.
There goes professional hockey player Marcus Mitchell. You can follow him on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. Definitely check him out. An up-and-coming hockey player for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting to actually, you know, get a chance to talk with, you know, Marcus. And, of course, when he first mentioned that, you know, he's professional hockey, I said, goodness, man, I got to know a little bit more about this. And, you know, the dedication that he was talking about putting into the sport and, you know, just knowing at an early age, you're talking about, you know, 3 years old. I mean, it's just amazing. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have guest number two, former NFL sensation and Oakland Raider, Jerry Porter. Keep it locked in to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger.
Andro 400 is the natural, safe, and effective way to lose weight, gain energy, increase testosterone, and feel young again. Too good to be true? Then listen to what Bob and Jim have to say.
And in 30 days, I lost approximately 10 pounds. After another 30 days, I lost another 8 pounds, so a total of 18 pounds lost in 60 days. My libido has been increased 100-fold, and I feel like a teenager again.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about a year now. I've lost a little over 30 pounds. I have more energy. The biggest thing is just feeling better about myself, a lot more confident.
Guys, it's time to discover what Andro 400 can do for you. Call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Or go to andro400.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world.
Cause you burn with the crossfade.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two. And that is former NFL receiver and Oakland Raider draft pick, Jerry Porter. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jerry, thanks for being on the show, man. And of course, we'll get right to it. I know that you've had in the last part of your career with Jacksonville.
That never happened. I don't remember Jacksonville.
Okay, good. So let's get right to the Oakland Raiders then, man, because, you know, a fantastic and fabulous career that you had there, you know, starting out right from the gate, you know, just a sensational career. Of course, you had the chance to play with Tim Brown and Jerry Rice, and kind of give us an idea on what that was like as a rookie.
Well, it's not the ideal situation for a person who wants the ball, but, I mean, I got a chance to experience a lot, learn from both guys, and we had a lot of success.
And so, of course, you come in with a great physicality, nice build and a lot of speed, and, you know, your prowess showed, especially in one of the games that I thought was probably the best game that I had ever seen. It was in the snow against the Denver Broncos. And, man, you put on a show. And, I mean, one of the catches, I mean, my God, it has to be one of the best catches ever. I don't know why it's not on, you know, the NFL Network is one of the top 10 all-time catches. A one-hand grab in the back of the end zone, man, that was sensational.
I can tell you why right now. It's because it's the Raiders. It's a bias. If I'd have played for the Patriots, then you'd see that thing on Gillette commercials, maybe on a Papa John's commercial. It'd be all over the place. But I mean, I'm at peace with it. I had fun.
So as a player, that's interesting that you say that because of course you know as a Raider fan, man, big time bias, and we know it's out there. But to actually hear from an actual player, man, so you do believe in the bias?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you can go back and look at some of the rule changes they finally got tired of like penalizing us all the time for like the offensive lineman when the defensive lineman flinches and makes him jump. It was always on the Raiders, no matter whether we were offense or defense. Finally, they made it a rule where if the guy makes the offensive lineman jump, okay, we'll call it on defense because it's not fair. But for the longest time when I was playing, I swear, it happened at least 5 times a game.
Jerry, you were a second-round draft pick of the Oakland Raiders. What are your memories of that draft time?
back then, I wanted to be a first-round pick. And when teams passed me up, I got a little bit less than happy watching the draft. So as soon as I stopped watching the draft, the Raiders drafted me. So I should have stopped watching earlier.
And the Raiders had some success early on in your career and getting to the Super Bowl not too much longer, the 2002 Super Bowl. And what was that like as a young player in the NFL getting to the Super Bowl so quick in your career?
The odd thing is, I thought that was the norm. My first 3 years, we were AFC Championship, the snow game versus New England. And then my third year, we're in the Super Bowl. So I'm expecting to do that every year of my career. And that happened to be the last time I saw the playoffs ever.
Jerry Porter, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And man, you had mentioned those first 3 years, and those are great times, you know, as a Raider fan and as an Oakland Raider as well. You know, of course, Art Shell comes in. There's a little bit of murmur of discontent. You know, give your take on what happened, because I know that you get a raw deal on this one, you know, when it's brought up. But, you know, obviously there were some things that were going on in the organization that didn't sit well with you. Kind of give our listeners a heads up on that.
Well, I don't really want to go back into that. All I'm going to say is the rules that have been made recently to allow guys to be at home and work out where they want when it's not mandatory are for the situation like that. Back then, I simply wanted to work out in Florida instead of California, where everybody who knows the Bay Area knows from March till May or June, the weather is iffy. It could be rain one day, sunshine, and and nice weather the next. So I just wanted consistent weather, and that was the problem for some reason. I was going to be away, and he seemed like that was like I was doing something against the team, when in reality I came back 13 pounds lighter, best shape I'd ever been in, and he sat me on the bench for it. But
yeah,
maybe I should have been fat and played.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is in that situation. And of course, you came in great shape, and you know, there was just a change in the garden, if you will. And you know, if you can point back to that year, the Oakland Raiders haven't been the same since. I mean, so after you left, you know, things really took a turn for the worse.
Well, that was the icing on the tape. I think that was rock bottom. And you might have a couple people to say that the rock bottom happened later, but I mean, it's all in your own opinion. But I mean,
so
the
now
Raiders
you
are trending up. So it's not even about me. I just want to see good football from now on.
And so, and you mentioning that, and I was just getting ready to ask you that, Jerry. So now it looks like things are changing a little bit. There's a, you know, of course, the passing of Mr. Davis, and then his son Mark taking over. Now you have a former Raider player in Reggie McKenzie coming in. Are you pleased with some of the things that are happening with the organization and how things are turning around?
Honestly, I was a bit iffy in the beginning, but as I saw his vision of how things should go and the way they would like play out if we gave them time and be patient like Mr. Davis is being right now, I feel like this team, I don't want to put no unwarranted expectations on them, but this is going to be, hands down, is going to be better than last year. And I mean, I think every team in the AFC West is chasing Denver, but with the off-season moves, the Raiders have closed that gap where it's no—you can't say that Kansas City, San Diego, or Denver's that much better. If I mean, with the exception of Denver, because they have Peyton Manning, you can't say that San Diego or Kansas City are even better than the Raiders right now, providing that Matt Schaub comes in and plays like 2 or 3 years ago, Matt Schaub, instead of last year's Matt Schaub.
Former Oakland Raider Jerry Porter joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Jerry, if you were Reggie McKenzie, if you were the GM of the Oakland Raiders, what position would you draft first round in about 4 weeks?
Well, you gotta tell me who was taken where. What happened first? I mean, because it depends on how things play out. Honestly, with as high a pick as they have a really high pick in the second round. I take the linebacker, Mac, if he falls to me, because he's a damn good player. Or I take, I'd be a little bit iffy about taking a quarterback this early. But if you can get like Mac or Clowney, jump on it.
Now, those are the players that you like. Which position do you feel is the biggest need in Oakland right now?
I say that they need youth and the best youth, period. So, I mean, you have Schaub. He could be your quarterback. I mean, I saw Rich Gannon play till he was like 38, 39 years old, and Matt Schaub is like 32. So, I mean, if he's on, you don't need a quarterback right now. You need linemen. Nobody says I don't need linemen. I've got the five best. I won't ever need one. So, and injuries happen. I take O or D line.
Jerry Porter, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And Jerry, this is being known as one of the deeper wide receiver drafts coming out this year. Of course, Sammy Watkins is looking to be the top pick. Is that someone that the Oakland Raiders would look to go to in the first round?
It's too many questions on offense right there. We don't know what Matt Schaub we have. And, I mean, it would be nice to be able to draft after you know, but you don't know. So I'd take something, a can't miss. I'd take a can't miss like that, the big lineman from Auburn or Jadeveon Clowney. That's my ideal. If he could somehow land in Oakland's lap, I mean, I think that would be just like all the planets align, the stars align. And, yeah. But Khalil Mack is a good player. Robinson's a good player. I like all three quarterbacks, but they all like college quarterbacks, and they all make me nervous drafting them that high. So,
yeah. So let's talk. Let's talk about the quarterback situation. You being a wide receiver, what would be the ideal quarterback for you in this draft? Now, of course, we've heard that Johnny Manziel is in Alameda as we speak, and he's going to be there for the next couple of days.
He's downstairs right now.
Oh, okay. So then, what type of a is that? He's downstairs.
Yeah, he's downstairs in the living room watching the game. We're watching Kentucky and UConn.
Oh, man. Okay. So then, what kind of quarterback is he? The style of quarterback that you would like to have had?
Honestly, for myself, no.
Okay.
He runs around a bit too much for me in timing. With a receiver, you have to be on time, and you repetition, you get your reps in practice, and you want to stay on the same page as the quarterback. But half of his football, and I'm being generous when I say half, because it seems like it's like 80% of his football is freelance, and you can't practice freelance. It's kind of like how Roethlisberger does out there in Pittsburgh, but he's not Roethlisberger's size. I'd be cautious of him taking the hits that Roethlisberger can stand up from, and he's a bit slighter player. I didn't see Bortles much this year. If I had my choice, I would say a healthy Aaron Murray in the second round or third round would be a good pick, and take the best player available with the first pick.
Jerry, knowing what you know now about the NFL and the business side and even playing, how would things be different, or would they be different if you had to do it all over again?
Definitely. I'd do things a lot differently. Early in your career, when your body is in the position to be like when you can take care of it the way you should and play for 20 years or whatever, that's when you should. You can't do it. You can't try to decide to do that later. And that's the only thing I'd change. Other than that, I had a career I can't complain about.
Who did you learn the most from, and who helped you the most throughout your career?
I learned the most from probably say Tim Brown. Andre Rison played a close second. And then talking with different guys on our defense, like playing against Woodson and Torrey James and Eric Allen, playing against guys like that knew like all the tricks of the trade, and learning from them and using my moves that I thought were my go-to moves and having them just not work on them and then telling me why they didn't work on them helped me be a better player against our opponents.
Hey, Jerry, so you've learned from the best. I mean, you learned from Tim Brown, you've learned from Andre Rison, Jerry Rice as well. Talking about Tim Brown, I mean, what's really holding him back from getting into the Hall of Fame here?
Bias.
Biased again.
Bias. Bias.
Yeah. You know, it's beyond me. I just can't figure it out. I mean, this is Mr. Raider. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no way that he should not be in the Hall of Fame. And, of course, you knowing his work ethic, working with him year in and year out and learning some great things, it just seems like it's ridiculous and almost, a joke on the NFL's part for not allowing him in.
It really is. But, I mean, the fact that he doesn't have a ring, they're going to try to hang that over his head. But Chris Carter doesn't have a ring. Andre Reed doesn't have a ring. I mean, it's a bunch of receivers out there that don't have rings, but got recently put in. And I mean, you have 1,000 catches, 100 touchdowns. It should be just write your name on the slip exactly how you want it on your bust, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't see their logic, and I'm not a voter, so I can't really talk about it. But everybody who knows Tim Brown knows he's a Hall of Famer, even before he retired. So he'll get his just due. In time.
Definitely. So, hey, Jerry, so what's going on these days with you? And, you know, are you doing things with the Raiders organization? What types of are you doing? What kind of community stuff are you doing?
I'm a little bit here, there, and everywhere. I'm not doing too much, doing anything with the Raiders organization. Like I just, we just did myself and Rod Streeter. We did we were cutting hair for the St. Baldrick's thing, and the Oakland Children's Hospital. We did that a couple weekends ago. But overall, I'm just, you know, trying to heal up my wounds and my battle scars from back when I was playing, and just, you know, take it easy.
All right, Jerry, since you've got the game on in the background, who do you like in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship?
I'm a fan of letting youth play, so I'm liking Kentucky right now. We got a good close game. I hope they can pull it out.
All right, Jerry Porter taking Kentucky. Just about 10 minutes left in the College Basketball National Championship. Former Oakland Raider wide receiver Jerry Porter, thanks so much for your time tonight here on the Double with the Double S Express. We appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Thanks, Jerry.
There goes Oakland Raider draft pick in 2000, wide receiver Jerry Porter for the Raiders. A good talk about the game, where it was and where it is now, and things throughout his career.
Yeah, man, what a phenomenal player he was as well. Of course, playing in the AFC Championship game in 2002, and the Super Bowl as well. And, 295 receptions, 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, Sean Wally. That's not a bad career at all.
Not at all, and 95% of his career with the Oakland Raiders, and in fact, that's all he recalls.
Yeah, man, what other team? Yeah, exactly. And that's the way you like it, Sean. Once a Raider, always a Raider, and he personified that. Had some great years in Oakland, and so it's good to have Jerry on the show, and hopefully we'll have him on. Hey, maybe he'll bring on Johnny Manziel next time. He said he was downstairs.
Yeah, big basketball party going on down there. All right. Jerry Porter, thanks for joining us on the Double with the Double S Express. When we come back, a special third guest to wrap up the show. We'll be right back after this on the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, Platinum Service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Great guest tonight here on show 47 of On the Double. We just finished with former Oakland Raider Jerry Porter. And of course, big time guest number one, pro hockey player Marcus Mitchell.
And so you talk about, two sides of the pendulum, if you will. I mean, you're looking at hockey and then, you know, professional football. Two great guests and, you know, different perspectives on, you know, how they got to where they got to. And of course, you know, Marcus, you know, with hockey, I mean, man, starting at a young age, and I can only imagine getting on skates and, you know, realizing that's something that you'd want to do. I mean, it takes a certain type of temperament, a certain type of person. And so it was good finding out, you know, what it took to get to that level or the level that he's at. And of course, Jerry Porter, man, what can you say, man? I love watching his career and, you know, in the NFL and, of course, playing for my beloved Oakland Raiders. And, you know, that was one guy that I knew, you know, along with Tim Brown, that he was going to come to play, man. And you know, those were the days where we had, you know, two, three solid receivers. And, you know, you could pick and choose and, you know, we're always going to move the chains.
Yeah, and with Jerry Porter, I mean, he got so close to 1,000 yards, I believe, three times in his career. So he was one of those great receivers for fantasy leagues, great number one, number two, complimentary receiver, and he did great things for the Raiders.
Oh, man, you talking about fantasy league. Yeah, that was he was one of the guys that you would definitely want to pick. And, of course, you know, he knew how to get open, had incredible speed for his size, and, you know, and, of course, Tim Brown just being the crafty veteran that he was along with Jerry Rice. You know, sometimes those guys would demand a double team, and let's not kid ourselves. I mean, there was points where Jerry was getting double teams, Jerry Porter was getting double teams as well. So, I mean, just an awesome receiver, and, you know, hopefully the Raiders can get back to having those types of receivers.
Well, Sean, we've got an extra special guest on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines right now, and let's go out to the HolySmokeNut.com phone line and welcome in Mark Basinger. Mark Basinger out of Kennewick, Washington, on the Mark Barbershop. Mark, thanks so much for your time tonight.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Mark. Thanks for being on the show. And so I'm sure people are wondering, they're saying, wow, how in the world, what's going on with having a barber on the show? Now, you have a significance as far as the hair that you cut. Of course, you've had the chance to cut some very familiar heads as far as Seattle Seahawks are concerned. So go ahead and tell that.
Yeah, well, I am barber to some of the Seahawks. Earl or Brandon Browner, we met this last summer and we kind of linked up and. I had cut some hair out in WSU from time before, back in the day when Trufant and him were back out there. I remember Brandon being out there for Oregon State, so we kind of hit it off. And long story short, Earl was cutting his dreads off at the same time. And basically, he needed a barber. And, you know, I always tell people cutting hair is probably half of it. And the other half is you got to be able to know your role and sit back and just be a good person, period, and be yourself. And they really enjoy that whenever you can, you know, lay off the autograph talk and just constantly begging them for stuff and basically just treat them like human beings. So that's kind of been the way I went about it. And it's been Earl's definitely a really good friend of mine. And he's definitely took it under his wing as far as giving me opportunity with the Seahawks and just in general. I'm actually headed up to the VMAC to go cut some hair for Bobby Wagner, a couple other guys that they're back in town for the OTA. So, that's basically what I do. We're having a party this Saturday out at the convention center, the Three Rivers Convention Center here in Tri-Cities, Washington. We're proud to bring the Super Bowl champ himself, Earl Thomas, out to have a good time, celebrate the Super Bowl, you know, here with the eastern side of the mountains with a bunch of 12-man fans that usually don't get recognized, you know, not to say that we're not noticed, but people think Seattle and they think Seattle. And really, you know, there's some diehard fans and some really, speaking to myself, man, I've been a 12th-man fan since I was in diapers. You know, I was in a Kurt Warner jersey, number 28 Kurt Warner, when I was, you know, a little kid. So to be able to, you know, bring them out here, you know, what's a better time than after the Super Bowl of winning a championship? I always tell people, well, you think the 12th man is rabid now, wait till you see us with a championship. You know what I'm saying? So, just come out. We're going to celebrate the Super Bowl and have Earl's going to be in the building. We're going to have a meet and greet at Hapo Community Credit Union from 5 to 7:30. You can buy your tickets. It's $25 for children and $40 for adults. He's going to take photos out there and doing a meet and greet out there. And then the party's going to be from 9 to 2 a.m., like I said, at the Three Rivers Convention Center.
Now, Mark, you being the consummate professional, because that's what it sounds like. I mean, this was a great opportunity for you. I can only imagine, you know, when, you know, here you have a professional athlete asking you to cut his hair. And, you know, I mean, what was that like? I can only imagine that, you know, you're thinking, man, I have to do an awesome job, or were you nervous, or was it something that you took a deep breath and just said, man, this is just another head, or what was your process?
Honestly, I always tell people this. I've had a barbershop for like over 10 plus years, and it's kind of something that I've had a natural love and passion for it, and thank God I have a ability to cut hair, and I've been blessed, you know what I mean? But I think, you know, all the years I had multiple barbershops at one time, and I think just all the years of cutting hair and just constantly training for that very moment. Like, I'm a sport nut, so, like, people know that you come to the barbershop, you're going to be able to debate with me about any, especially Seahawks or anything like that, man. I'm definitely going to debate with you. So it's kind of one of them things that, you know, like, talking sports and stats and, like, debating with people, that's kind of, like, right up my alley, and that's kind of something that comes kind of, like, second nature to me. So sometimes at the shop, people will have to tell me, you need to calm down a little bit, you know, and then you get in the locker room with guys like Sherman and them, and you see like the same type of passion, and it's like it feels like I was always, you know, as far as cutting hair, it was something I was always supposed to do, you know what I mean? But as far as being nervous, I mean, I could say like I cut Percy Harvin the night before the Super Bowl, and that was a big deal to me, you know what I'm saying? But you to think there's over 100 million people that are going to watch this game, and there's pretty much, there's like no room for error, you know what I'm saying? So it is, I would be lying to you if I told you I wasn't nervous, but that's also what makes a good haircut, is keeps you sharp, you know what I mean?
Now, Mark, if I'm not mistaken, you started this whole process via Instagram. You reached out to Brandon Browner last summer, is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. That is 100% correct. Yeah, I had a picture with Evander Holyfield, and long story short, he had liked it or said something to the effect that that's one of my favorite boxers, and I'd seen that he had been looking through my page. So I cut a lot of the Tri-City Fever's hair from up here in Tri-Cities, the Arena League football team. So there's been some players that have came through that have played for Oregon State or, you know, Boston College, wherever it was from, that I would just tag them. And if they had any ex-players, like Browner played with a couple guys that were actually playing for the Fever, so I would tag them in the picture and basically tell them, you know, if you ever need me up there, I got you. Well, lo and behold, I never, you know, I didn't imagine what was become, but, you know, I had confidence to do that, and I felt like, why not me? But, you know, sometimes that's just what it takes, is to step out and actually believe in what you actually, you know, after what you want, and anything's possible. So that was just definitely a testament to that. You know what I mean?
Now, Earl Thomas, as a thank you for all that you had done and cutting his hair and cutting everybody else, he got you tickets to the Super Bowl, correct?
Yeah, he brought me out to New York. I went out there for the Super Bowl. I went to, went out there and cut a bunch of guys' hair. A lot of his family was out there, and it was just a good experience to get out there and to, you know, just get out to New York. And I mean, it was for the Super Bowl, and you know, to win the Super Bowl and to like experience the joy of like just not only, you know, to experience the heartbeat of the locker room throughout the whole year, and to, you know, just a very small piece of it, and to play my part and as far as cutting hair and stuff like that, but to be able to experience like all these grown men, you know, achieving something that they wanted as little boys, or, you know what I mean? Like a child's game. It was unbelievable to see that. And I think that's probably one of the best things about it, was to see these guys that you develop friendships with actually achieve their lifelong dreams, and to see how much it meant to them. That was pretty neat. That was pretty cool.
I don't know if you've done a search, Mark, but your story was in papers all over the country about, here's a barber, hits up Brandon Browner on Twitter. Now he's cutting, you know, Earl Thomas, Brandon Browner, you name it, a lot of Seahawks hair. And all of a sudden, you're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, you made the USA Today, you made papers in California, papers across the country, and your story is a great one, and it was all over the country, man.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest parts about it to me, was I was a little bit put off at first, because I was nervous. I was in Seattle, and they had done a story here in the local paper in Tri-Cities, and next thing you know, I get a call. I'm coming back from Seattle. I got done cutting those, the guys. They're about ready to take off to New York. No big deal. And I get a call about Clea Ellum, and they're like, hey, this guy's like, this is Adam Schwartz or Nick Schwartz or something like that from USA Today. He's like, I'm from USA Today. You have a minute to talk? And I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, oh, the AP picked up your, you know, the AP had picked up your story. So basically we want to, you know, a couple words for us because we're going to run it tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? Like, I was a little scared and like, a little nervous at first because, like, you know, I protect the job that I have. It's genuine and it's from a good place, you know what I mean? And it's kind of, I didn't tell Earl anything about, like, I didn't know USA Today or anybody like that was running anything. So at first I was a little nervous, like, man, I hope, you know, you don't want to look like you're out there trying to put stuff out, you know what I mean? And not only that, but it was Super Bowl media week, and I mean, the calls that I got, I probably turned down over 40 interviews just because I wanted to let the dust, you know, I didn't know why the story was so big. I'm a barber, you know, I can't imagine I'm the first barber to go to the Super Bowl. So just the fact that it made USA Today and it was such a big story, I think it had a lot to do with, like you say, the way the story developed and just kind of how it happened. I think everybody was kind of intrigued about that. But looking back, hindsight 2020, I mean, it was to wake up in the morning and people are calling you, telling you you're trending on MSN and stuff of that nature. It's a little bit, you know, I'm just a barber from Tri-City. So, but I also understand how special and how big a deal it was to a lot of people. So it definitely, one of the reporters had told me something to the effect that, you know, the days of you being a small time barber in the dry cities is over, so you need to get used to it. And I was like, man, this is a trip. I had no idea somebody could actually take a feed off a local paper and run it national. You know, it could turn into national news. So that was kind of a big deal to me. But it was a really big deal to me. And I also, you know, I've taken it all in stride. But I also know that those blessings are, I mean, I feel blessed from it all. You know what I mean? That's a major blessing to make USA Today as a barber. Period. You know what I mean? But let alone, you know, Earl Thomas, it has everything to do with how great Earl and the Seahawks are. So I just want to make sure I kept it about the Seahawks. And it was, you know what I mean? It was a big deal to me to make sure I try to deflect as much attention off of it to back to Earl and the Seahawks, because they're the ones that really did the big work. You know what I mean?
That's the voice of Mark Basinger, a barber from Kennewick, Washington, here in the Tri-Cities. You can visit him at On the Mark Barbershop. And he is working to help set up the Earl Thomas Super Bash at the Three Rivers Convention Center this Saturday, 9 p.m. Check out the good party. Mark, it's been great having you on. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks,
Thank
Mark.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good night. Yep.
You too.
Mark Basinger with his insight on how he went from barber to barber of professional football players going to the Super Bowl.
Man, I like how Mark said that he's just a, you know, just a barber, just a small-time barber. I'm like, no, not anymore, man. Not with all the heads that you've cut and getting tickets to the Super Bowl. I mean, come on, man. Let's be real now. I mean, man, he's big time. And, you know, and hats off to him, man, because, you know, it's a tough profession, man. And to get that type of consistency, you know, let alone it being from professional athletes and being a part of the Super Bowl bash, which, by the way, love to have Earl Thomas on the show, man. Man, going back and forth, I mean, this NCAA game, man, it's got me on the edge of my seat here.
Well, plus, I threw you a curveball with bringing Mark on last minute, so hey.
That's quite all right, man. It was good getting a chance to see how, you know where barbers get their start, man. He just sent an Instagram out. So for those of you who are in the barber profession and you want to come up, man, it's simple. Put out an Instagram.
Welcome to the world of social media. It was that easy.
Man, only if it was that easy for everything, huh?
No kidding. All right, Sean Boyd, we're going to get to one more break, and we'll be back to wrap up the show and take one final look at the NCAA basketball championship right after this on The Double with the Double S Express.
David from Seattle. I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger.
Andro 400 is the natural, safe, and effective way to lose weight, gain energy, increase testosterone, and feel young again. Too good to be true? Then listen to what Bob and Jim have to say.
And in 30 days, I lost approximately 10 pounds. After another 30 days, I lost another 8 pounds, so a total of 18 pounds lost in 60 days. My libido has been increased 100-fold, and I feel like a teenager again.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about a year now. I've lost a little over 30 pounds. I have more energy. The biggest thing is just feeling better about myself, a lot more confident.
Guys, it's time to discover what Andro 400 can do for you. Call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Or go to andro400.com. Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Show number 47 almost in the books. And as we wind up this show, Mr. Wally, a great game brewing in Dallas with the NCAA Finals.
I'm showing 3:47 left in the contest. Connecticut up 56-52 over Kentucky. A tight contest. Man, we got to wrap the show up so we can see the final minutes.
Well, man, I just watched Alex Poitras just put one down, and it looks like he's going to go with the and one. It should be 56-53 when they come back from break. But, man, we've had such a great show, man. Of course, you know, our listeners who have been listening and watching the game at the same time doing what we're doing. Guest number one, Marcus Mitchell, professional hockey extraordinaire. Champaign, Illinois is from where he presided. And, you know, now trying to make his mark in professional hockey and moving to the NHL. Wishing him all the best of luck on that and his endeavors. And, of course, Jerry Porter, former Oakland Raider, one of Oakland's fine receivers, as guest number two. And, of course, we had, you know, three great guests. And, of course, Mark is doing some awesome things in your neck of the woods. Sean Wally, Tri-Cities, got the Earl Thomas Super Bash, and that's at Three Rivers Convention Center. That's Saturday at 9 p.m. So everybody up in the Washington, Oregon area, make sure that you get over to that and celebrate the Seattle Seahawks once again.
Absolutely. You know, how often does a professional athlete get to your town and host a party and throw a bash and raffle off autographed items and jerseys for charity and just have a chance to meet and greet and mingle and have a good time, and for that athlete to say, hey, thank you for being a fan? And that's what's going on Saturday, and it's going to be a great time. I'm going to be there with an all-access pass, DJing along with the rest of the DJs at Platinum Entertainment. So it will be a good time indeed. Three Rivers Convention Center, Saturday, 9 p.m., Tri-Cities, Washington.
And you know, Sean, I think that's a great thing, man. Of course, you know, Washington is separated by Eastern Washington and Western Washington. And you know, the Seahawks have done a great job. Of course, Richard Sherman being over there in Eastern Washington as well. This is going to be one of those great events over there in the Tri-Cities. Of course, Earl Thomas Super Bash. Make sure that you get to that Three Rivers Convention Center, Saturday at 9 p.m.
All right, Sean Boyd, quickly, a couple minutes left. Who's going to win the college basketball tournament in the NCAA?
Well, right now, four-point lead belongs to UConn, and that's who I picked from the beginning. And, you know, for personal reasons, of course, if you've watched Shabazz Napier, and if you've ever watched my son, Devon Boyd, play point guard, man, these guys are identical in their style of play. And Shabazz Napier has 22 points in this game, and if the UConn Huskies wind up winning, he's definitely going to be the MVP.
All right. Special thanks to our guest tonight, Mark Basinger, Jerry Porter, and Marcus Mitchell for show 47 of On the Double with the Double S Express. Let's get to the final couple minutes of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. This has been On the Double with the Double S Express, show 47. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.